Again, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this Sunday, the third Sunday in Lent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just have a few announcements to share with you. Again, a reminder that next Saturday, March the 29th, there will be a spring cleanup day beginning at 9 a.m. until noon. So please come out and be a part of that, an opportunity to spruce up around the church and its surrounding environs. So that's going to be on March the 29th. Also like to remind people about the challenge, the reading challenge for the season of Lent this year. We are reading, asking people to read the Gospel of Mark. Again, it's not a very large book. Should be able, you still have plenty of time to read the Mark's Gospel before Easter, before Good Friday even. So please read that. If you have any questions about that or would like to participate, you can see our clerk of session, Ken McEwen. So again, that's we would encourage folks to do that. Something else that we have had going on, which is Wednesday Vibes. It's get ready to be lifted up with our gospel hymn of the week. Each week on Wednesday, there's a gospel hymn that is posted on the Facebook page. And it's a wonderful opportunity to learn some hymns and to sing along. But that is each Wednesday Vibes, and that is on the church Facebook page. There are other things, of course, going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin as well as go to our church website to stay abreast of what is going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
And as you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, just wanted to take a quick moment and wish two very special people in our church family a happy birthday. So Enoch is turning 10 today. Happy birthday to Enoch. And his sweet sister Aviva is turning 6 tomorrow. So happy birthday to Enoch and Aviva. If you see them, they obviously just wanted to put their heads down and get out without too much embarrassment, but if you see them later after the service, be sure to take a moment to wish them a happy birthday. Certainly very beloved two individuals in our congregation. This morning's Old Testament reading can be found in your pew Bibles on page 635. Again, Isaiah chapter 55. And we will be reading from verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call nations that you know not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 906. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir. This year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
My mother has long since retired, but she goes back to the hospital where she's worked for many years to volunteer as a kind of a lay chaplain. She goes into the rooms of patients and she prays for them, sometimes sings for them. But she was telling me some years ago that she was in a room of a patient where the doctor had come in. The patient was a young man in his mid-30s whose heart was permanently damaged by drug abuse. Apparently, he had been in the hospital before, and the doctor had warned him that if he didn't change his life, if he didn't stop the drug abuse, if he didn't turn his life around and come to his senses, that he was going to die. But apparently, the young man didn't heed the warning because he was back in the hospital. But he was there only to hear the doctor tell him that there was nothing more that they could do for him. His heart was too far gone. His condition was terminal. Let those who have ears hear this morning. We're halfway into the season of Lent, and one of the themes of this season is repentance. And repentance, I know, is one of those sweaty religious words that conjures up feelings of guilt and shame and remorse. Several years ago, there was a televangelist that got caught in a rather compromising situation. He publicly confessed what he had done before his congregation and before the world. He was filled with a great deal of emotion. I've sinned, he said. And he seemed very remorseful, very contrite, very sorry for what he had done. But later he was called in the same situation again. And so repentance is not just about what we feel. It's not about just being remorseful. But repentance is about what we do. Repentance is about change. It's about turning our lives around and going in a different direction. And so the invitation to repentance is always good news because it means that there's still time. Still time to get things right. Still time to turn around. Still time to move towards God. Time to move towards the ways of life. That's what Jesus says in our text this morning. You know, one of the things I've tried to give up a little bit during the season of Lent is watching the news. Seems like bad news is what dominates. So much bad news out there that it can leave you very much depressed and a little bit overwhelmed. But I suppose that's the way it's always been. Even during Jesus' day, bad news was a constant reality. And so in our gospel lesson this morning, some people have come to Jesus and they say, "Have you heard? It's all over the news, Jesus. Surely you've heard how the Roman governor murdered some Galileans as they were in the temple offering their sacrifices. What a terrible tragedy." And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, well, the same thing is going to happen to you too if you don't change, if you don't repent, if you don't turn your lives around." There are, of course, no historical writings about the two events alluded to in the text. There are no historical writings anywhere else about how Pilate slaughtered a group of Galileans in the temple, and there's no historical information anywhere about the Tower of Siloam falling and killing 18 people. But what ties these two tragedies together is that these were the ways that many Jews were killed during the tragic Roman-Jewish war. All of the gospel writers have Jesus foretelling a great judgment that's going to fall upon Jerusalem because she failed to acknowledge the time of her visitation. Last week we heard one of those sayings when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could protect you like a mother hen protects her chicks, but you'll have none of it." And so Jesus is constantly, as he makes his way towards Jerusalem, he is foretelling this great judgment, this great tragedy that's going to fall on Jerusalem. And the great judgment that Jesus is alluding to seems to be the Roman-Jewish war. After laying siege to Jerusalem, the Romans breached the walls and some of the people fled into the temple thinking they might be safe there, and the Romans killed them right there in the temple. And then they destroyed the walls of the temple and the gates of the temple, and many people died as a result of fallen masonry. It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. But Jesus is telling the people of his day, he says, "Don't think that these Galileans were any worse than you. The same thing is going to happen to you too unless you repent, unless you turn around, unless you move in a whole different direction. Unless you follow me and my way and into the kingdom. Repent. Change. Turn around." We had a funeral here yesterday. Wasn't anyone associated with the church. It was a young man who lived in the community. He was associated with the church in some way. He used to come here and play basketball and come to some of the other functions. But he was a young man, looked to be in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. The family was looking for a place to have the funeral, and because there was going to be lots of people, and usually when it's a young person who dies, lots of people come out for the funeral, and there were lots of people. Many of the young people got up to speak about this young man and speak about his life. I have no way of knowing what kind of life this young man actually lived. But I do know now that his life is in the hands of a loving God who loves him more than he can even begin to know. He's close to the heart of God. But I also know that the God wanted something for this young man on this side of creation. There was so much that God wanted to give this young man, so much joy, so much peace, so much of God's abundant grace, God wanted to give it to him. But now it's too late. There's no more time, at least for the young man. But Jesus is saying in his text this morning, he's saying there's still time. He's telling the people of Jerusalem, you still have time. You still have time to change. You still have time to turn your life around. There's still time for you to repent, for you to move back towards God. You know, I hear people preaching all the time something similar to what Jesus is saying this morning. Jesus, of course, was talking specifically to the people of his day, to the people of Jerusalem, but it's a message for all of us today, too, about repenting, about changing, about turning around. I was listening to a man not long ago, and he was talking about climate change. He was noting the frequency and the severity of fires out in the West and hurricanes here on the East Coast and in the Gulf region. And he was saying that unless we change, unless we turn around, unless we go in a different direction, we're courting disaster. We've got to change, he was saying. But there's not enough time. We don't have a whole lot of time. And as I was listening to him, I was thinking to myself, yeah, well, good luck with that. Good luck with trying to convince people here in our own country to change, because that means a whole way of life. We're going to have to change a whole way of how we live, our relationship with the earth, our relationship with nature, our relationship with fossil fuels. We're going to have to change the whole way we live. And so good luck with that. But that's what we are told this morning. Unless we change, unless we turn around, and unless we repent, we're courting disaster. I think most people would tell you, if you go out and you ask anyone, they'll tell you something needs to happen. We need to repent. We need to turn around. We all have our list of things that we need to repent from, but people would say that we need to repent. We need to change the way that we relate to each other. We need to change how we live. We need to turn around from the selfishness which often orients our lives. We need to change the way we see our brothers and sisters who are different from us. Unless we change, unless we repent, we're courting disaster as our world grows smaller and smaller. and becomes more integrated. Of course, the change that Jesus is talking about is the kind of change that bears fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of heaven, the fruit that is indicative of a life that is touched by God. Fruits of grace and justice and love and generosity and kindness. Unless we change, unless we repent, we don't know what the future is going to hold for us, especially here in our country, but we still have time. Jesus says there's still a little bit of time, but we don't have all the time of the world. Part of the problem is that we have this craving deep down inside of us, all of us human beings. We have this deep hunger and this deep thirst. It was put there by God. It's a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. But we all have this deep hunger and this deep thirst. And the problem is we try to fill it up with all kind of things. We crave after the wrong things. We try to fill that deep hunger up with money. We think if we have enough money, if we can just live a certain way of life, then we'll be all right. But it's not. We try to fill it up with prestige. If we have enough prestige and status and people think highly of us, then we'll be all right. But it's not. We try to fill it with all kind of consumer goods, but they're all wanting. They're not enough. None of it is enough because we were made for something else. We were made for God. We're kind of like people who go into a fancy restaurant and we look around and we read the menu and it has all the best kind of foods and the best kind of wines and the most exquisite desserts, all kinds of wonderful things, and we see the menu and there's no prices on the menu and we think this must be expensive, and so we know that if we have to ask, we can't afford it, but we have to ask anyway. And so when the waiter comes, we ask, how much is all of this? And the waiter says, it's all free. It's all free. It's on the house. But we grow suspicious and we think there must be some kind of gimmick, some kind of bait and switch gimmick, or maybe the food's not that good, and so we slip out quietly and we go find the nearest McDonald's because that's what we're used to. But the word of the Lord this morning is, why do you do that? Why do we do that? Why do we spend money for that which is not bread? Why do we spend our labor for things that don't satisfy? Why do we embark on ways of life and seek out ways of life that don't satisfy, that don't feel that hunger deep down inside of our hearts? Why do we believe that the ways on offer of the world is what we should give our lives over to? The prophet says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he might be found. Call upon him while he is near, because we don't have a lot of time. There's not a whole lot of time. Several years ago, when I was a kid, we used to have an apricot tree in the back of our yard. Right in the back of the yard, right in the middle. But it never grew any fruit. Every year it would bloom, but there was no fruit. I was too young. I didn't even know what an apricot was. But it never grew any fruit. But one day, out of one year, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was something in the soil. Maybe the climate was just right. I don't know what happened, but it bloomed apricots. And there was all kinds of apricots. Apricots on the tree, apricots on the ground. It was the only year in the 7 years we lived at that particular residence that the apricot tree bloomed and gave forth its fruit. Jesus likens the people to a fig tree. A fig tree that's supposed to bear fruit. A fig tree that's supposed to bear witness to who God is by the fruit that it bears, but it's not bearing any fruit. It's not bearing fruit worthy of God. It's not bearing fruit worthy of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it looks good, it's there, it blooms, but it doesn't bear any fruit. And if something's not bearing any fruit, the only thing left to do is to cut it down, to get rid of it. Why let it waste up the nutrients in the soil? Why let it take up room? Cut it down. That's what scares me sometimes about what I see in the church in general, in our country, God's people. I wonder if we are bearing the right kind of fruit. We get so caught up in all kinds of other things. We get so caught up in fighting our turf wars. We get so caught up in the political intrigues of the day. We get so caught up in all kinds of things, but we're not bearing any fruit. We're not bearing any fruit worthy of repentance. We're not bearing the fruit of love. We're not bearing the fruit of kindness. We're not bearing the fruit of compassion. We're not bearing the fruit of forgiveness. We're not bearing the fruit of reconciliation. We're just kind of taking up room, taking up space. And if we're not bearing any fruit, there's nothing left to do but cut it down. The good news is that God declares that there's still time. I'm going to give you more time. You still have a little bit of time. A little bit of time to get it right. A little bit of time to repent. A little bit of time to move back towards God. I want you to prune the tree. I want you to take care of it. I want you to water it, because I'm going to give you a little bit more time to bear fruit worthy of repentance, to bear fruit worthy of reflecting who God is. But you don't have all the time of the world. That's what Jesus is saying. You don't have all the time of the world. I'll give you one more year. One more year to prune the tree. And if it still hasn't borne any fruit, then cut it down. Lent is the season when we are told to get it right. It's the season when we are invited to live into what it means to be God's people. It's the season where we learn what it means to walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross. so that we might bear the kind of fruit that Jesus himself bore. And so as we continue to journey to the cross, let us remember who we are. That we are the people who are called to follow in the ways of the Christ. We're the people who are called to seek the Lord while he may be found. We're the people who are called to choose the feast that God has put before us and to put aside all the junk food that our culture offers us. Repent. Turn around. Change. That's what it means to be the people of the cross. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us, all of your people, to move in a different direction than what the world would like to take us. You've called us to move in the way of self-giving, sacrificial love for the sake of the world. We acknowledge this morning how terribly difficult that can be for us. Sometimes we are not even clear ourselves that we are indeed lost as we go our own way. But you have reminded us that we were created for a particular purpose. You reminded us that our souls long for you, even as we try to fill it up with all kind of different things that we believe give our lives meaning. Our souls long for you. Our heart longs for you because you made us in your image. Help us to turn around and bear that image up in the world as we seek to be your faithful disciples and followers as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the way to the cross. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.